5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Do want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors. That is Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're also hiring, and I want to get that out there. They want to let folks know. I'm telling you what, Jerry Lemons is an amazing guy. I've known him for a while. I played on his flag football team for several years, so you get to know a guy. You can tell a lot about a guy by the way they play flag football. Jerry's just a great dude. Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. So if you're in that industry and you know about that industry and you're thinking about a change or whatever, give them a buzz, 970-567-0798. More importantly for the customers out there, with these up and down temperatures, all of that, we're dealing with the heat right now. Won't be long until you're dealing with the cold. Just make sure both sides are up to speed with Lemons Heating and Cooling. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Before we get to today in the NFL, I guess it is all today in the NFL, but all kidding aside, and I'm not really kidding because Drew Locke could be the greatest thing ever. Shouldn't Seattle be more aggressive about trying to go get Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, you just signed, we were talking about during the break, you just signed DK Metcalf, who is a freak of nature. I was reading a piece from FanSided, which is, you know, writers that are around the team or whatever, but from Seattle. I was just curious what they were thinking. Todd Vandenberg, who's writing for FanSided for The 12th Man Rising, his get this title, Jades. Seahawks adding Jimmy Garoppolo would be like buying a used car. Then what is Drew Locke and Geno Smith? I mean, there is a tiny piece of me that does believe all the nonsense that I spew about Drew Locke, but the logical part of my brain says if you're Seattle, you're not really rebuilding if you just re-sign your stud wide receiver to a long-term deal. So why wouldn't you think about Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, is Jimmy Garoppolo an elite quarterback? No. But right now, who would you take? Jimmy G or Drew Locke? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Or is it? Do you have to think about it a little more?
It's not.
It's Jimmy G?
It's cut and dry. I mean, I'd rather buy a used car than have two broken down cars.
You got two cars that have been broken down for a while. And, you know, Drew Locke tried to get the engine started, but then you had a terrible mechanic in Vic Fangio. Didn't know what a carburetor was. You know, he put diesel in the gasoline tank. Yeah, that was Vic last year. Didn't know how to connect the dots. So in fairness, and I know whenever I throw shade at Drew, I always make sure to make most of it about Vic Fangio because he screwed up the young man's career. Hope he's happy.
Should.
Yeah, he should be sad about that. But you don't, I just, if I'm Seattle, I mean, is Seattle in a rebuild mode? I'm not, I mean, kind of, but you just re-signed DK Metcalf. So to me, that says we think we could get this thing up and going within another year or two. Maybe not this year, but maybe in the next 2 years. Or are they just waiting it out to see what's available in the draft next year? Because this was a weak quarterback class this year. Is it going to be a stronger class next year? I think we all agreed that yes, the answer is yes.
Well, and I just, like, I don't know what they're trying to do because you have a fairly solid running back core. I mean, I'm a big fan on Rashad Penny. I think he...
I like him.
I mean, he plays a lot like Marshawn Lynch, in my opinion. Like, not as good, obviously, but he's just kind of the guy who just plows through everyone. And you have two really good wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Like, I just don't know what you're missing a quarterback, and you have a solid offense if you just... get someone to lead the ship.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, you get the right quarterback, and maybe Jimmy G's. I don't know. Maybe they see something in Drew, but I did read a couple of reports yesterday that Drew had some moments, but he also had some stuff that we're used to. He took off to his left, threw off his back foot, threw it across the field, and it almost gets picked. And so that's the kind of stuff, you know, we saw. But then we saw the laser show of Drew just firing those footballs into that net like you wouldn't believe. Dude, if the Nets were out there, he'd be, like, just golden. Well, we already did it, but let's get to today in the NFL. Talking about Lamar Jackson today. Surprise, surprise. Love Lamar Jackson. I like entertainment. So sue me. I think the guy's going to turn heads this year. Still negotiating that long-term contract. What did you read, though, Jade? He did say that there's kind of like a mental deadline in his head where he's looking for a deal to get done in his brain, I suppose. I mean, what's that mean to you? That if something doesn't get done by that perceived deadline, Lamar's going to play on the season and then look for greener pastures next year?
Well, from everything I read, the said deadline was the first week of the regular season. I read that on a few different sites. I think ESPN had said it, and so did Yahoo. So that's kind of like the consensus, I think, is what they're saying. I don't know that Lamar directly said that, but...
Well, because it was on ESPN this morning, and then it was taken down. So I didn't know if they misquoted him or what. But what I had read from NFL.com was that he said, we're keeping it in-house. We're having a mutual conversation. We're keeping it in-house. So something got out. Excuse me. Something got out to ESPN, and then they took it down. Coach John Harbaugh said both sides are motivated to get the job done. I'll be curious to see how this one works out, man. But you, these are gambles. This is why I love the salary cap and all this stuff, because you are forced as a team to make decisions, to gamble on a guy, to not gamble on a guy, to wait it out, see what their value looks like. We got him. Let's do it now. We got him. Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, is here to join me. Kevin's a great guy. We carry his program. Love that program. We carry it coming up late August. Kevin, my man, great to talk to you.
Brady, it's good to be here, man. We're finally getting into summer here in Montana. I know it's been hot there. In Colorado, too. We'll let it cool down a little bit, and then we'll get started with football. Can't wait.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Are the Bears ready to rock and roll, Kevin? You sent me last night. We were looking over the Big Sky Conference coaches poll, media poll, and the Bears, although I wasn't completely shocked, but according to the coaches poll, we got UNC sitting at the bottom of the barrel, tied for 11th with Idaho State, and then the media poll has them at 11th, just above Idaho State. So let's talk some Bears football. Is it as bad as those polls would suggest?
Look, I think the Big Sky is becoming a lot like the SoCon. And I'm a SoCon guy, Citadel guy. So, you know, I grew up in that conference. And nobody really knows what's going to happen in that league from one year to the next. And I think the Big Sky is starting to be that way. There's always somebody who jumps up from the preseason rankings, you know, 11th or 12th, and finishes in the top half. I think Northern Colorado certainly has the talent to do so. The schedule is favorable, but the two Montana schools and Sac State seem to be 1, 2, 3, and Weber State and Eastern Washington both have difficult schedules. So, you know, we might see an opportunity for somebody who was picked down there at the bottom to make their way towards the middle. And if you can be in the middle by the middle of the season, who knows how it'll end.
We're talking to Kevin Marshall, host of FCS Nation, a program we air here. And Kevin, before we let you go, I'll let you tell our listeners all about that program and what they can expect coming up this fall. But I wanted to get your take, because you and I have gone back and forth when all the drama hit surrounding Ed McCaffrey a few months ago. There was an article in the Greeley Tribune, and we've all kind of agreed that a lot of that stuff was, I don't know. And then obviously the big stuff was put to bed, and it was, you know, ultimately didn't do anything wrong. But what is you kind of from that overall perspective, looking at the Big Sky Conference as a whole, looking at UNC as a whole, What is your take so far of what you've seen with Ed McCaffrey with this UNC team?
I think there were going to be some growing pains. When you hire someone to be a Division I head football coach whose only coaching experience was at a small high school, there's going to be some crawling before you walk and then walking before you run. So I don't know whether those were just, you know, miscommunication, lack of interpersonal skills, but I spoke with Coach McCaffrey there at Spokane for the media day. Personable fella, knowledgeable fella. I believe he'll get the job done there. But look, the cupboard wasn't empty when he took over, but I think you saw maybe an emptying process to get his sort of guys in there. And I think that Northern Colorado will be better this year. I think if you're – when can they really contend? I think maybe next year or maybe the year following that. I don't believe you can judge what's happened in that program just yet. You've got to give that man some time. And I think with the contacts that he has and the name recognition that he has, especially in that part of the country, I think he's going to go into people's living room and recruit extremely well. And we'll see if that can translate into W's on the field.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, like you said, when you talk to Ed, when you actually sit down, he is a really personable guy. At first, you know, he could seem a little standoffish and whatnot, but I got a chance to spend a lot of time with him this past offseason and just listening to him talk about football. I mean, the guy, according, you know, based on my knowledge of football, sure seems like he knows a lot about what he's talking about, which, again, in that article in the Greeley Tribune, it alluded to maybe he didn't know as much, that he was running more of an elementary type offense. But when you sit and talk to him, you're like, it seems like he knows his stuff.
Look, it's a pretty simple game, right? You block, you tackle, and you put the pigskin through the giant H for 3 points or 1 point, right? It's not a difficult game. And although I think we try to make it one. It helps us be employed, right? If we can make this thing be difficult, you know, then not everybody can do what it is that we do. But look, there are lots of good football players in that area. And I think if you're Northern Colorado, if you can build a wall around, you know, your area there, and maybe, you know, you're not going to get the guys that the Buffaloes get or Colorado State gets, although you can steal those type of guys occasionally. But I think you need to start worrying about, you know, what are the Idahos doing? Is Weber coming into your area? If you can get the guys who are right around there, you can win in the Big Sky. Montana is a perfect example of that. They take a lot of Montana kids, both schools do, and then they sort of add to that with people from elsewhere. I think that is the blueprint to success in the Big Sky Conference.
Boy, and I love what you said, too. You know, they're not going to be able to compete with the Buffaloes and the Rams on that side of it. But, like you said, they can be there when that transfer portal falls. There was a player last year for CSU, a good friend of mine, Ellison Hubbard. He ended up going to Sam Houston State. But I thought, man, there's a guy that doesn't seem to fit what CSU's doing. He's kind of moved down the depth chart. He would make perfect sense for UNC to come scoop up. So I think that's a great point where you're going to have CU guys and CSU guys that maybe started out thinking they're D1 FBS guys and maybe for whatever reason drift a little bit, might make perfect sense to recharge their college career with a UNC type team.
And look, you also have in the FBS, they give out way more offers than actual scholarships they have. So if you're Northern Colorado, you can look at their list of kids that they've offered and kind of, you know, maybe realize that, you know, that guy's probably not going there, even though he holds an offer. You know, that they need to actually figure out that there's a difference between an offer and a committable offer, right? You know, so if a school offers a kid and he asks, well, can I commit right now? Well, and the coach says, well, no. Well, then he really doesn't have an offer, does he? So you can sort of go in off their coattails just a little bit. I know that in other states that have FBS teams, the FCS schools do very well with that. So the transfer portal definitely will help. And look, once we have all the COVID eligibility gone, then you'll start to see people really start to recruit the high schools again. I mean, it's hard not to feel bad for the seniors these past 2 years, isn't it? When everybody got an extra year. And so we have some guys, you know, their sixth year in college, seventh year in college. East Tennessee State had a guy last year who'd been there almost 8 years, you know, with some red shirt for medical reasons. So once we get past the COVID deal and the extra year that everybody got, we'll see that start to smooth out some. I mean, Greeley, Colorado is a great place, and you have good fans. And the stadium it's in a really nice setting. I need to get there this year, and I'm looking forward to that. But I think this, you have a program there that's nothing to be ashamed of. Facilities are decent and getting better. Head coach that has a good name, and you're set up for success there.
Talking to Kevin Marshall of FCS Nation, and that's the thing. Like you said, the facilities are getting better. They did get their that new workout spot there, and that's huge for this team. They got the turf field. I know lights are the big discussion for UNC, but that's the other battle too that you're talking about with this Bears team. When you look at, I mean, again, comparing. You want to try to be the best, right? In the Montanas and Montana States, I mean, they have the top-of-the-line facilities, and I know that's something that Ed McCaffrey really believes they can get to, and that's what he said. This is why, if I didn't believe they would buy in on upgrading facilities, I would have never taken the job.
Look, UC Davis is doing the concrete work I saw yesterday for a $50 million facility. Now, the facility race in the Big Sky is kind of a big deal. You have the Champion Center here in Missoula. You've got what's going on in Bozeman. Look, it's not really the haves and the have-nots in this league. Everybody's trying to do something. So the facilities are going to be there. And look, I'll say it again. It's probably pretty easier for a guy whose name Ed McCaffrey to go to donors and pitch them this stuff, you know, than somebody named Kevin Marshall to do it. You know, so that's not going to hurt you. And also, you know, with the people that he knows, you know, former teammates, former executives, you know, corporate sponsorships, they're all out there. And look, I've learned this trying to get my show on all across this country. All they can do is tell me no, right? You know, and what have you lost? So, you know, I think that we'll see that continue to improve there. And I'm a fan of y'all's. I really am. We're doing it with a lot less facilities and a lot less funding than a lot of programs were. That's starting to improve, and I expect the play on the field and the results to improve as well.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that's why with Ed McCaffrey, I mean, we're talking Ernest Collins Jr. He was given, what, 9 seasons as the head coach. I think Ed's going to be given however long he wants to stick around. I really believe that because what you just said, talking about his name, his ability to go to donors. I mean, people still love that name. Ed McCaffrey, and it's a good thing they love McCaffrey because there's 900 of them that coach and play for this team, it seems like, with Max McCaffrey as the offensive coordinator and Dylan as the quarterback. But, Kevin, just again looking at the rest of this, the coaches poll and media poll, and like you said, it's that Montana, Montana State, or Sac State, or kind of a variation of that, but it looks like Montana certainly going to be that team to beat.
The defense is outstanding, and just like last season, I believe the Grizz will go as far as the quarterback can take them. When you think back to that playoff game in Harrisonburg, Virginia, they were in that ball game until the quarterback got hurt. They had no depth at that position. And would that ball game have been completely different if that wouldn't have happened? Maybe. It was looking like a Grizz-type, ugly-type ball game that they would have a good shot to win. But then the quarterback goes down, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting is the love that the Bobcats are getting. Yes, they're coming off of an improbable run to the national championship game, but they're also having to replace 3 really good offensive linemen. And as we all know, sometimes those units don't gel together immediately. It might take 3, 4, 5 games for them all to get on the same page and do what they're supposed to be doing. But in the Big Sky, with the out-of-conference schedule and with who you're playing, you really can't afford to get off to a slow start. So I think if you watch what the Bobcats do the first 2-3 weeks, there might be opportunities there for teams to get them if they have the defensive line and the linebackers to push those young offensive linemen that are going to be there. Sac State, I mean, look, Troy Taylor is one of the better coaches in this country. A lot of people have never heard of, and they should. All he's done is gone 15-1 in the Big Sky at Sacramento State, a place that was not known for a whole lot of winning in the Big Sky Conference before he took over there. And he's done a really good job of getting the guys around Sacramento to stay there and play football for Sac State. And we talked about Eastern Washington's schedule. I mean, you look down that, sir, and, you know, that Tennessee State team that Eddie George going to bring over there in week one, it's the same one that he had last year. You know, he's done very well in the portal. And you look down those first 6 games with Florida and Oregon and then Weber and Sac and Montana State. I mean, realistically, Eastern Washington could be 0-6.
Wow.
And then what happens there? You know, so, but Dan Hawkins going to do a fine job at Davis. He always does. You know, there's one thing about the Big Sky Conference that I really love is that with all those coaches, you go to media day, you're not going to get a lot of coach speak. There's a lot of guys in this conference that'll tell you what they think, and I really appreciate that.
No question about it. I think you're getting kind of that raw emotion out of these guys, too. So I'm ready for the season. Cannot wait. Kevin, tell our listeners, maybe folks that are new to the station, new to your show, a little bit about what they can expect with your program on a weekly basis.
We're a national look at the entire subdivision. And FCS fans, we don't have it real easy. You know, if you're a fan of a big FBS team, you know, you can probably find out what your coach had for supper last night.
Yeah.
That info's out there. Well, all the research you need to be a knowledgeable FCS football fan, we do it for you. It's one time a week, 1 hour a week, and you can be the smartest person at your FCS tailgate if you'll listen to FCS Nation. I can promise you that. Somebody will say, you know, so what do you think about Mac Neese in the Southern Conference? And you can say, no. Mac Neese is in the Southland Conference, not the SoCon. And then you can maybe bet a beer if that's right, and Google is your friend. So, you know, but we do all that for you, interviews with coaches, players. We also will bring on beat writers. We have really great guests. And, look, we're going to break it down for you. You can be a more knowledgeable fan. We appreciate y'all running the show, and we appreciate anyone who will listen. Thank you very much. We do this because we love FCS football, and we love to bring it to you every week during the season.
No, we sure appreciate it, my man, and we're looking forward to getting that first program rolling, and for us here at least, getting that UNC Bears team off, hopefully, to a good start this upcoming season. Kevin, my man, appreciate you. Let's catch up soon.
Really appreciate it. Looking forward to being back on there. Enjoy the changes that you've made with the station there. That station you have and that program there is a sleeping giant, and I think it's about to wake up.
I appreciate that, my man. Couldn't do it without great people like you helping and bringing more and more knowledge to our listeners out there. So, Kevin, my man, let's stay in touch, okay?
Really appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
All right, there he is, Kevin Marshall, FCS Nation. And we're getting all kinds of cool things being said today, Jades. That's a nice deal. Bama Bear texting in. I love this because it's you heard about Tanner and Brian's the Rocky Bus. Tanner and Angels, I guess. Brian was kind of there. The Rocky Bus, the bandwagon they were on. Bama Bear says, news out of Grand Canyon Park. The park officials have found the remains of some kind of purple bus. Occupants appear to have abandoned the vehicle, leaving only beer cans and taco wrappers. I think that's about right. 28 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk more Broncos camp. And should the Broncos be giving Russell Wilson the contract extension now? I say yes. Why wait? Go all in on this guy. Let's cook. Let's ride. I don't care. You know, level up. What a Sierra song. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what saying it is. Mr. Unlimited. Get the deal done. Make sure he's here for the next 6 years. 28 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.